And that was a prelude on the basis of the hymn we're going to be taking a look at today. Oh God, my faithful God, on this Tuesday, August the 11th. In the year of our Lord, 2015. And with us, of course, on Tuesday is our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? It's a beautiful day out there, I'll tell you. Even though summer is fast leaving us, I hate to see it go.
Really?
I always like summer to take its time.
No, anytime you got to turn on an air conditioner, I like to see it go.
Well, I don't know.
You don't have to turn on the air conditioner.
It's a little bit slower pace. You know, summer is just a little bit lighter schedule, you know.
You know what I have to do today?
Because I know when fall comes, you know, you got confirmation, you've got the special services not too far away, and I'll tell you, it's a heavier load.
No, I totally disagree. For example, today after I leave here at 11 o'clock, I have a Bible study and Emmanuel Olivet. Then I have a pastoral meeting. Then I have a 1 o'clock Bible study at another church. Then another pastoral meeting. Then at 4:30, I'm on issues, etc., doing the Sunday school lesson. And then at 7:30, I'm back at Emmanuel Olivet for a young adults Bible study.
Oh, yeah. You work so hard. Poor Tom.
I know.
Poor Tommy.
I'm looking forward to the fall when it's a lot slower.
Hey, no, you know the Bible class? You know the Bible class you complained there was only 8 people? Well, you know how many we had this last Sunday when I was there?
How many?
We ran out of books. I think we had about 25 people in there.
They thought I was coming back, I was told. Yeah, they didn't realize.
Yeah, right.
That,
right.
They thought I was a new pastor. Well, this shows how... never mind. Okay.
You don't have a comeback, that's the problem.
Well, I have one, but it would embarrass you, so I don't want to say it, you know. None. Oh God, my faithful God is a hymn that was written by Johann Hermann. I think he's German.
Yeah, I think so.
But the reason I like it is the translator.
Catherine Winkworth.
Yes.
Your favorite.
My favorite translator.
I wonder what she looked like.
Who cares? What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I just
wonder. You wonder what she looks like.
Well, yeah, that sounds sounds a little sexist, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does.
Two eyes and two arms and
yeah.
Yeah, oh God, my faithful God. So, it's 6 verses long. That's why we don't take calls on Tuesdays, because we don't really get through what we need to be getting through with, and that is the entire hymn. So if you would be so kind as to begin by reading the first stanza.
O God, my faithful God, true fountain ever flowing, without whom nothing is, all perfect gifts bestowing, give me a healthy frame, and may I have within a conscience free from blame, a soul unstained by sin.
Okay, the question I asked on the promo was, if we confess, like I was just walking in the office and I had to go to another office, check on some money that Concordia Mission Society had given towards Kazakhstan and such, and somebody saw me say, hey, Tom, how you doing? I said, not good. And then he got all concerned. He said, what do you mean not good? He said, I'm a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but... And then he started talking about the cross. So I said, okay, I'll use that on the program. But if we're poor, miserable sinners, how can we have a conscience free from blame?
Well, because a conscience free from blame.
That's what the text says.
Well, your conscience is put at ease by the gospel. The gospel puts our conscience at ease.
Excellent. Can you expand on that?
Well, how can you expand on that?
What's a bad conscience?
A bad conscience is something when you feel like, oh boy, you know, and you haven't really repented. You know that you've done something that you're ashamed of, and you know it's against God's will. And
what are you really worried about?
You're worried that I don't know. I suppose you're. I don't know. Could you be worried that you die in your sin?
Yeah. That's what every person is worried about. How can I be righteous with an almighty, holy God? And so...
That's why a lot of these people come clean on their deathbed, I suppose.
Well, it depends. I was listening yesterday one of the Kennedys was dying, and he wrote the Pope and asked him for a blessing so that he could get to heaven. You know, and he said, because I have done so many good things.
Yes, I know. I remember that. Yes.
Oh, I tell
boy,
you.
Boy, oh boy.
I mean, that's not a conscience free from blame. You hit it on the head. The gospel takes away not your sin, but takes away the punishment
that's
of
right.
your sin.
That's right.
And when a person
pronounces us.
Yeah. Anytime I have a bad conscience, it's always because of the consequences I think might occur because of what I did wrong. And I mean, it doesn't happen. About 18 years ago, I did something wrong. But anyway,
Right there, just five seconds ago.
Brings me up to date. People don't realize that.
No.
Is that the conscience is, you know, really feeling bad because we're worried about God, and so we try and make it up to God. I mean, you know, Lutherans are I've got to go to church on Sunday, or I got to go to the Bible study, or I have to do this. And every time somebody says that, I said, no, since Christ, there is no more have-tos.
That's right. He's done it all for us.
Yes, there are want-tos.
He's fulfilled the law for us, yes.
There are want-tos.
There are want-tos.
But not have-tos.
Right.
You know, it's like saying to your kid, okay, you'll be my child, but you have to do these things. It's ridiculous. The child, or regardless of it. So that's why we start off, oh God, my faithful God. Explain faithful.
Well, that's one of his attributes. He's faithful. You can hold him to his promises. Because you know
that's the point. Yes,
you can hold him to his promises. He'll keep his promises. That's for sure.
And the promises occur in the second line: all perfect gifts
bestowing.
Yes, that's the promises. They're perfect. Now I had a little trouble with this next one. Give me a healthy frame. What does that mean?
Well, that's I think, without pondering too deeply, I think of that as the gift of good health.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of there. So a body that
holds up.
Yeah, holds up, doesn't get ill. Because when you get ill, boy, it's hard to do your work.
It is.
Yes. And a soul unstained by sin. All right, I'll read stanza two.
Oh, there's a good one. There's a good question in stanza two. I'm going to see if you fall for it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll read it fast. Grant me the...
Come on, Tom. We've only got a half hour.
Oh, sorry. Grant me the strength to do with ready heart and willing whatever you command, my calling here fulfilling, that I do what I should while trusting you to bless the outcome for my good, for you must give success. Question?
Yeah. How about that last line, very last line? That can be misunderstood. For you must give success.
It would so be.
Is that the only way God can get? You know, how are we to understand that?
How are we to understand?
Are we always going to be successful?
Well, who's the big preacher down in Texas talks about being successful?
Joel Osteen.
Yes. He loved that song, that
yes,
part of it.
Yes, you're right.
But how would he interpret success? Big house, big car.
Right. Prosperity.
Yes.
Prosperity doctrine, we call it.
Prosperity gospel.
Right.
Yeah. That if you trust in God enough, then you'll get all
everything
these.
Will go just right.
But anytime we say that this is on the basis of God's word, we must give a Bible verse. So for you must give success. What's the Bible verse that comes to mind? And I'll tell you what the one is. Kind of came to my mind. I'll start it off. You finish it.
Okay.
All things will
work out for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his
purpose.
That's
success.
Yes, yes. Well, I was coming from the point of view that God is the only origin of success. If we have success, he's the one that has to give it to us. That's the point that I wanted to make. You know, I mean,
yes.
You know, we can't always expect everything to, you know, to pan out, to playing the numbers game, the bottom line. You know, if we have a good year business-wise, a prosperous year, if we have success in that regard, we've only got God to thank.
What would be a synonym for success, which also appears in the stanza. In fact, it rhymes with success.
Bless?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Right. It's a blessing.
Yeah. See, that's
undeserved blessing.
What Catherine Winkworth does all the time.
Yes.
Is her rhyming.
Yes.
And so she had to find a word to rhyme with bless. And the closest she came was success. So you're right. It could be misunderstood. But to be success means you have to be blessed. What happens to unbelievers? They're not blessed.
They have no such promise. I mean, God does,
what's the
he
word
does
he uses?
Put his rain upon the just as well as upon the unjust, but they don't have the promise. The unbeliever does not have the promise that all things must work out for his good.
That's right. So they're not blessed, they're
lucky.
No. Cursed.
Just kidding. Cursed. Right.
Yeah. And, yes. And we get that from the parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep are blessed, the goats are cursed. And curse doesn't mean that God is mean to you.
No.
It means that things do not work out.
That's right. Because you've rejected him. It's not that he hasn't reached out to you.
That's why we can fully expect a lot of bad things happening to people who are in gay marriage or have abortions or this kind of thing. Because God sends signals, and they're automatically built into immorality.
Yeah,
and
sin begets sin. You know, I mean, it just all becomes a wadded mess.
We just need to be there to help people through that and show them once more where their conscience can be free from blame. Stanza 3.
Keep me from saying words that later need recalling. Oh, boy, I can identify with that.
Oh, boy, I can. I don't see, oh, boy, I can
keep
identify.
Keep me from saying words that later need recalling. Guard me lest idle speech may from my lips be falling. But when within my place I must and ought to speak, then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak, Tom Baker.
My hymnal doesn't have Tom Baker.
This line is just for you.
Oh, just for me.
It's specifically written for you.
Okay.
Catherine Winkworth, she knew what she was who she was talking about here.
But you said the first line was for you, that word you say that need recalling.
Well, that line's for me.
Yeah, like...
Because, you know, don't you often think, oh, I wish I hadn't said that, you know.
Like when you asked to marry your wife?
No.
Oh, you're not including that?
No, one? You know, there's an old saying that a misspoken word is faster than a galloping horseman. You know, you can't...
Really?
You can't recall it. Once it's... You know, there's that old story about a member of a congregation, a woman, came to her pastor.
Spoke against the pastor. He took her up on the mountain.
He took her up
with
on
a pillow.
Tore open the pillow and scattered all the feathers all over the countryside. And he says, now you put all those feathers back in that pillow.
Yeah.
And that's what a misspoken word is. It's once it's out, the only thing that can wash away those sins is Jesus.
We really see that misspoken word today among the presidential candidates as they speak out against somebody else. Like somebody will say something against them, then they'll come back and say something against them, and they'll sometimes just make it out of thin air or something.
And especially with the social communication, the internet and all that, I mean, it just travels faster.
Oh, yeah.
Like lightning.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So, I'm still trying to figure out how those words apply to me.
Look at that. Look at that, Tom.
Well, read the part.
It says, but when within my place I must and ought to speak. Well, you feel like that's always the case with you. Then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak.
Yes.
You know, we have to weigh our words carefully.
Yeah,
right. We really have to weigh our words carefully, because sometimes, you know, I mean, you can be right on. You can be the absolute truth. But, you know, there's such a thing as killing a flea with a cannonball. You know what I mean?
No, I never heard of that.
You never heard of that, huh?
No, that's pretty good. He'd be dead.
Yes, but you might. You might be some peripheral damage.
Yes. Well, anybody knows what's going on in St. Louis and Ferguson. You know.
Yeah. Oh boy.
With those crowds and such, and
oh boy.
You know what amazes me? They go into the highway and the trucks stop.
Yes.
So I don't go around those places.
Yeah. You might not stop. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I tell you, this is ridiculous. That's dangerous to stop in the middle. I mean, you crash from behind and such.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I don't speak much about that because I don't have God's clear word on a lot of things what a person should do. Mm-hmm. For example, I know they were criticizing the police last night because they didn't have a curfew. This morning, I was listening to a lawyer, or no, he's actually a judge, and he said, I really criticize the police for not having a curfew, but it worked out real good, and I was wrong, and they were right. Yeah, because last night there was no shooting or really, really bad stuff.
Yeah,
so,
good.
Yeah, you just don't know sometimes, you know, how to make a decision. I've always said it's much harder to work in the secular realm because you don't have a clear word of God all
the time. That's right. That's right.
Whereas
you rely on good judgment.
Pastors, no problem at all. It's all black and white.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and if it isn't, then it's an open question.
That's right.
All right, I'll read 4. Lord, let me win my foes. Oh, see, there you
are
again.
There you are. With kindly words and actions.
I'm reading verse.
This is your hymn, Tom.
Oh, yes. Lord, let me win my foes with kindly words and actions, and let me find good friends instead of Marky Smith. No, wait a minute. Sorry.
For counsel and correction.
Oh, boy. Help me as you have taught to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might to live in peace with all. So this is not talking about justification.
Sanctification.
Yeah. Explain the difference.
Once you have come to faith and you realize what a gracious gift God has given you, free salvation in his son, Jesus Christ, you want to live your life in him. You want to turn over a new leaf.
Yes. Yeah, that struck me with one particular presidential candidate who was talking about if one of his daughters had become lesbian, he would still have unconditional love towards her because he received unconditional love from God.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Kasich, I think, was.
Yeah, there were some other things he said I wouldn't agree with. But be that as it may, that unconditional love is really what this verse is kind of talking about. And it only can come about once you have.
Right.
That unconditional love.
We love because he first loved us.
Exactly. And the love there is agape, not the gay kind of love, which is eros or erotic love. So it is a different kind of love, and the Bible makes that very clear. So this is really a sanctification kind of thing, saying that once, in fact, what's at the top of the page?
Oh, God, my faithful God.
No.
Oh, sanctification.
Boy,
yeah, it's the sanctification
Lord, let
section.
Me win my foes. Okay. Will you read stanza 5 without interjection?
Okay. Let me depart this life confiding in my Savior. By grace receive my soul that it may live forever. And let my body have a quiet resting place within a Christian grave, and let it sleep in peace. Boy, that's a sobering. I mean, you know, you don't hear too many. I can't think of another hymn verse that talks about the wish for a peaceful rest after departing this life.
How about the one based on Finlandia? You know
what? It just comes to mind right away, doesn't it?
Which
hymn are you talking about?
Well, you know, come on.
Oh,
Robert Price.
Behold a Host?
Yes.
Behold a Host arrayed in white?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's the one that.
Yeah, they sang that at his funeral.
Robert Price, favorite one.
Right.
Tremendous theologian. And
you bet.
I'll tell you. In fact, tomorrow, I'm doing something. I'll just mention it before we run out of time. Normally, when you want to really show how good the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is, you interview somebody who was another denomination and joined the Lutheran
Church.
I'm doing the opposite. I'm going to be talking about a person who left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to become Roman Catholic.
Hmm.
And one of my listeners sent me a CD of an interview he gave why he left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And by the time I had finished leading to it, I was even more strongly in agreement with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I'm going to explain that tomorrow. And I never thought about that. Talk to people who've left our church. And one of the things you're going to find out is that Well, I'm not going to give it away. You'll have to wait till tomorrow. So verse 6, stanza 6. And on that final day, when all the dead are waking, stretch out your mighty hand, my deathly slumber breaking. Then let me hear your voice, redeem this earthly frame, and bid me to rejoice with those who love your name. So the sanctification part goes to the day of judgment.
That's right. When we're awakened, the resurrection.
Yeah, when all the dead
are waking.
Are waking. Now, obviously, that would be referring to not the spirits of the dead who are with Jesus, who are believers, but the bodies.
Right. That's right.
The dead bodies.
Because we're already with Jesus right after death.
In fact, my deathly slumber breaking, that's pretty close to what you sometimes see on tombstones. Or at least in the newspaper. What do they always say about somebody?
Rest in peace.
No. Asleep.
Asleep in Jesus.
Yeah.
Asleep in Jesus. Yeah, that usually indicates a person was Lutheran.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it meant Christian.
Well, it can be that too. But for some reason, that is usually the Lutheran.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, usually you can tell Lutherans by that asleep in Jesus reference.
Oh. It'll be interesting to look at where that came from. I mean, there's no doubt in the Bible the term sleep is used for the death of Christians.
Right.
You know, sleep. But I didn't know that was distinctly Lutheran.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember.
That's what
I thought
heard
for
that.
Sure I saw others who had that. But a lot of times you'll just see RIP.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. It took me a while to figure that one out. Then let me hear your voice, redeem this earthly frame. What does that mean? How's the earthly frame redeemed?
Well, it's glorified. It's raised and it's glorified.
Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 15, this mortal
must put on immortality. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Yes.
That's a common passage we often use at the...
At the funeral. Or at the committal.
The committal, right, at the cemetery. That liturgy is really good.
Yes, it is. And you use it. You know, I've always believed you use it. I go right with a book at the committal.
When Dr. Martin Charlemagne died, a professor who was also a member of my congregation, the family asked me that we would first go to the cemetery, and this is the only thing that would be said, was that liturgy, because he loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was a brigadier general, so
Absolutely.
They had the bugles and everything going on. Then we went back to the church and had a worship service.
I remember it. I attended that one. I remember you preached it.
Well, I did, but except for the first sentences, it was all what
was
he had said in the classroom.
The seven last words.
Seven last words.
I remember it.
I and my vicar at that time, Paul Hunziker, we went to the seminary, and we ended up bringing down the video, because the whole 10 weeks had been videotaped. And it was the last class where he put together the seven words from the cross, and probably one of the best sermons I ever read.
In fact, I still use those words of his every so often for a tenebrae service.
Oh, yeah.
I sure do.
Service of darkness.
It was so good.
And when are your services this weekend?
Yes. Saturday at 5 p.m. Saturday 5 p.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church at the Watson and New Sappington intersection out in Crestwood. And Sunday morning, of course, at 9 a.m. followed by adult Bible class and Sunday school. 9 a.m. Sunday.
And we will announce I will not be there for the Bible class, so the 25 people need not show up. Okay, I'm preaching at Emmanuel Olivet, 5 o'clock Saturday, and then Sunday. God bless.
Each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.